The Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. I do thank you for tuning into our show today, and also thanking those who might be listening live via the internet at www.710keel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Keel application on their Apple or Android devices. In addition, we do thank those who might be listening now via a podcast on Apple Podcasts or the bestoftimesnews.com podcast of this radio show or many other radio shows that we have on our podcasts. We do thank AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country S-Report, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn how our Louisiana Treasury Department has delivered positive results for its citizen. So stay tuned to the show for some very interesting and beneficial information for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, August the 17th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show is not live and has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the July-August issue of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. We do thank you for the many, many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy, you can always visit our popular website at www.thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues of our magazine. In addition, you can download and view the 2024 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. In addition, you can listen to previously radio shows here on the Best of Times Radio Hour. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a newsletter via email blast to over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers that live in Caddo and Bossier parishes of Louisiana. It provides them with links to read our current issue online, but also they can read additional information that's not found in our printed copy. And these articles and educational information are greatly beneficial for you or your loved ones. It also contains discounts and coupons, a contest, and of course news and about upcoming events and events throughout the area that you can participate. Join the many thousands who are receiving this newsletter free of charge via their email each and every month. So visit our website to subscribe free of charge at thebestoftimesnews.com, and it will give you an option to enter your email address to start receiving our free newsletter. Great news, our friends at Ernest Orleans has brought back the Best of Times special dinner on Thursday evenings from 4:30 p.m. to closing with fabulous meals at highly discounted price, along with entertainment and free valet parking. It is highly recommended due to the popularity of this Best of Times Thursday night special to make advance reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, that's 318-226-1325. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country S-Report, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Kiel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show today. Joining me on my show today is a very special guest, is the Louisiana State Treasurer, the Honorable John Fleming, and I've asked him to come on our show to discuss some of the positive results that this State Department has done to benefit Louisiana citizens. So thank you, Dr. Fleming, for joining us today on the radio show.
Yeah, great, great to be on once again.
Well, first of all, I want to personally thank you and congratulate you and your department on those many accomplishments that you have done to benefit Louisiana. I hope more and more people are, through this show and many other avenues are going to learn that you and your department have taken a lot of great effort, and you just took office in January, I think January 24th of this year, and have remarkably accomplished many things and given a lot of positive results. I mean, I don't know too many people that are elected in any office that implement things that quickly. Is that true?
Well, we definitely were prepared as a team to tackle Louisiana's issues. You know, Louisiana has had problems over the many decades. We're losing population, losing jobs, losing companies, while states around us have been leaping forward. And so I definitely was gratified to have the opportunity to serve as your state treasurer in Louisiana to begin tackling these problems. And they were there just as I took office. They began to stack up, and we've taken them down one by one for the people of Louisiana.
Well, again, I congratulate you. But before we talk about these accomplishments and positive results, I want to mention to my listeners, Dr. Fleming has led a remarkable life and careers and so much done in his 73 years. By the way, you look much younger than me. I'm 74. Every time I see you, I said he must have some wonder drug that he's taken. He's a doctor. He must know which to take, right? Your wife is really taking care of
a lot of aging. Maybe I just have a lot of aging to do over the next 12 months.
No, you don't. But having a wife, four kids, and six grandkids. My grandkids, I love my six grandkids, but sometimes they wear me out. So, and I love them. I love them all. So, but everybody, I've known him for years, and I've followed you on all your careers and past and et cetera. But I went to Wikipedia, and that's a remarkable source. I don't know if it had everything there, but I was at awe. So I challenge all of my listeners out there. You want a little bit more about Dr. Fleming? Just Google Dr. John Fleming, Wikipedia, and it'll give you a remarkable pages upon pages of great detail about his accomplishments, his careers, his schooling, his background, which he's a family medical doctor in Minden for many years. That's when I first met him when I was in the Medicare program many years ago. Everybody probably knows he's a U.S. Navy veteran and had a lot of accomplishments in the Navy. Of course, he's a husband to a lovely wife, Cindy, and a father of four children and six grandchildren. And I didn't know this, that he wrote a book on preventing addiction. Wow. And that was a pretty pretty popular book back in the day. It was many years ago, right? But it still...
Well, it was in 2007, and that's when we really began to see the current epidemic leaping forward. Addiction, as you know, has become much worse, with oxycodone and then later all these other narcotic drugs that are coming across our border. So, but I wrote that in response to what I was seeing, very concerned at that time for our children who really were still in their formative years back in that time, but also what I had learned, and I've actually served as a medical director for two drug and alcohol treatment programs, and the basic theme of the book was that the longer you can keep children and young adults from experimenting with drugs or certainly abusing alcohol, you give their brains time to mature, and the brain becomes much more resistant against addiction. And what you often find, if you hear stories from people who are addicted to drugs and alcohol, they'll tell you that they began using as early as age 9.
Whoa.
And so we know that the later in life kids get into that stuff, the more likely they're going to get through it or not even attempt it at all. So that was the theme of the book. We applied those principles to my four kids, and none of them, they're all adults in their 30s and 40s today, and none of them have addiction problems.
Well, that's remarkable. Again, I was touched by that. I think I've never read the book, but I think a lot of people out there might want to pick it up wherever it's available. The other thing that I learned that I was not aware, and it's practiced in Little Minden, Louisiana, was among the first clinic in the entire state of Louisiana, I believe. I don't know if I didn't get the last of the story. They implement electronic medical record keeping. This is in 1997, way in the beginning of electronic medical records. Now, almost everybody, there's still a few doctors and clinics and that are not on it, but it was a unique, and I was a big proponent of that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I was in home health care of that, and I proposed to my corporate company, and they started implementing more electronic medical records and et cetera, et cetera. But you were one of the first to do that, which that's innovative technology, which many physicians were like, no, we don't want to do that. We want to keep the card catalog and et cetera, et cetera. So I commend you on that forethought, and that was many years ago. The other thing I think a lot of listeners are not aware of, that you're a very successful business entrepreneur, having two different franchises. And I don't know if you still have them, but I did know in the past you did. And that was way outside the box of medical fields, right? When you came up with that?
First of all, you mentioned I'm a physician, and I still have a medical clinic that still operates today. It's a very busy clinic. I practice there from time to time. But along about the mid-80s, I began to get the entrepreneurial bug, and I decided to open companies. I opened the first Subway franchise store in North Louisiana back in 1985. We built up to today we have 32 operating stores. And then in the 90s, I began to get into a concept that we know today as the UPS store. And in this case, I don't own franchise stores, but I am my company is a master licensee for 180 stores stretching across Texas, Louisiana, and Mississippi. And we share in the royalty stream that comes from the franchisees. And then, of course, we have a real estate, an active real estate portfolio and commercial real estate. So this continues even today, and really it's been very enjoyable. I've learned a lot about economic development, which I'm trying to apply as your state treasurer. We desperately need a lot of good economic development in this state.
And a treasurer that has business experience. You know how to run a business. You had to know to do budgeting, and you know how to spend, and et cetera, et cetera. Probably in the past, I don't know if some of our prior treasurers had that expertise. The other thing I think everybody knows, he was a United States member of House of Representatives, represented our area for 4 2-year terms from 2009 to 2017. And you were on my show a couple of times during that time. And also, I don't know if you recall, my wife wanted to remind you that you and your department submitted us information and articles for our magazine, The Best of Times, on many occasions during your 8-year tenure there. But after leaving Congress, he was appointed Deputy Assistant Secretary of DHH, Department of Health and Human Services, relating to health technology. Wow. I was not aware of that one, but I did remember that you were appointed as one of the assistants to President Trump and kept that position for a couple of years, if I recall. But I'm left off, everyone, many, many careers, accomplishments, tasks that he's done. We could take like 4 hours on this show to talk about each and every one of them. So I want to challenge you to go visit Wikipedia, and you're going to learn a lot. Any comments or anything that I should tell my listeners that I didn't portray to you now?
Well, I'd just like to expand on that. So after 8 years in Congress, representing the 4th District, which is Shreveport-Bossier and all the way down to Evangeline Parish. As you say, I was a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Health Technology at the Department of Health and Human Services in Washington. And then I was appointed Assistant Secretary of Economic Development at the Department of Commerce. So I led the Economic Development Administration in Washington I was appointed by President Trump. I was confirmed by the U.S. Senate for that role. And then in the last year of the Trump administration, they detailed me over to the White House, the West Wing of the White House, where I served as Deputy Chief of Staff, working alongside Mark Meadows, Jared Kushner,
wow,
Vice President Pence. And my office was only 10 steps from the Oval Office, where I served for 10 months. And I was also a member of the Coronavirus Task Force, where we met weekly to discuss all of the different things that needed to be done during the pandemic. I was the White House liaison for the 2020 census that was occurring at that time.
Wow.
And many, many other interesting things that I did. It was probably the most interesting job I've ever had. Although the one I have now as treasurer is certainly competitive with that.
Well, again, that is a lot of remarkable, and I'm sure you gave a lot of insight. My experience with you're going to give your opinion and your item on anything brought up. Is that right?
100%.
Okay, let's get that back to the accomplishments of the Treasury Department. And I didn't know this until you put it in one of your. You only have 71 employees? That's a small department for our state.
Well, remember that we're, I think people often think that we're a taxing authority, but that's a separate department. That is the Department of Revenue.
Okay, revenue. Okay.
So, and if you like, I can quickly go through the three functions of the Treasury Department in Louisiana.
Do that. I think that'll educate listeners.
Sure.
Go ahead.
First and foremost, we take the taxpayer money and money that comes to us from Washington, and we invest it. We invest it with two purposes. One is to protect it, keep it safe, so it can be used by the governor and the legislature for expenditures. And number two, for return on investment. In this past year, we have brought in $450 million on our investments, which is the highest the state's ever seen. We have never brought in that much money from the taxpayer, revenue, and so we're very proud of that. Also, the state, I'll get into that in a moment, but I did want to point out that investing is one of our duties. Number two is the state treasurer and the treasurer department. Its staff is also the head of the State Bond Commission. Now, the State Bond Commission is made up of representatives from the governor's office, the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, and others, including the Attorney General's office. And our job is to review any debt that a political subdivision, such as a city or parish and others, if they need to, for instance, float a bond for debt in order to repair something or to start something new, maybe a water system or a sewer system or a bridge or a street, whatever, our job is to review that and to approve it by the state constitution. And the reason the purpose of that is to make sure that cities and parishes and even state authorities don't get over their head with debt and be unable to service it, because then if they went into insolvency, we would have to take them over. So our job is to be a backstop for the kind of decisions that these cities, for instance, make when they put out a bond issue that's voted on by the constituents, the citizens. But we're there to make sure that all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted, so there's not going to be any financial trouble downstream. And then the third thing that we do, and this is the most popular program we have, it's called Unclaimed Property. And we have $350 million of unclaimed property that is owed to citizens. It's firewalled. We don't let the legislature or the governor have access to it. They would love to get their hands on it, trust me. But it's your money, and it could be a tax refund you didn't receive. It could be a bank account that you or maybe one of your ancestors had, and somehow it was turned over by the bank because it was forgotten about. It could be an inheritance, and it could be small dollars. It could be, we've seen returns of as much as $200,000.
Wow.
And we actually have a website where you can go and find out if you're owed money. It's lacashclaim.org, lacashclaim.org, or you can just Google unclaimed property in Louisiana. And all you have to do is put your name in and maybe a little more information, and it'll match up. And just to tell you, in the month of June, just on one day, June 13th, we mailed 27,000 checks to Louisianans amounting to over $5 million.
Awesome.
And basically what we did in this case, people didn't even apply for it. We actually did a cross-reference of database with the Department of Revenue, and we found that, you know, these people were owed their money, and we got the checks out to them. But I'll tell you something that happened just the other day. We found that there was a guy, I think through an inheritance, was owed over $20,000. This was down in the New Orleans area. And we called him and said, look, sir, you're owed $20,000 from the state of Louisiana. We'd like to provide that to you. And he hung up on us because he thought it was a scam. And we had to call him four or five times. Finally, I met him at a speaking engagement. I showed him my treasurer's ID, and then I handed him a check for $20,000.
Well, what a big day for him. That was, wow, a good PR opportunity. Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information. But now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my radio show today is a very special guest, is Louisiana State Treasurer, the Honorable Dr. John Fleming. Thank you, Dr. Fleming, for joining us today here on the Best of Times Radio Hour.
Yes, great to be with you today.
So we talked about the three divisions. Let's go on some of the more details about the positive result. But some of them I don't understand, so explain it to our listeners. The highest rate of return on state investments in the past year. So in prior years, they weren't making a lot of returns on the money that was received by you at the Treasury?
Well, yes, you know, we have an investment department, and we're always looking for opportunity to upgrade the return on investment. And so we've done a lot of work in that area. We, by statute, we cannot invest more than 35% of the general fund dollars into stocks.
Okay.
And you know,
risky investments. Huh?
Well, not so much risky. I mean, we don't ever invest in risky things, but more like big caps with dividends and, you know, kind of. But nonetheless, in the stock market itself, but utilizing the more conservative kind of choices. So we're capped at 35%, and then the other 65%, we're required to invest in interest bearing investments.
Okay. Okay.
And so we've taken advantage of the higher interest rates. You know, the higher interest rates hurt home buyers and car buyers because they have to pay higher interest. But if you're investing money, there's opportunities to make more money by also benefiting from the higher interest rates as well. So for that reason, we've seen a record return and stability. Within the state budget, our reserve funds, the so-called rainy day funds, are quite plump. We've got plenty in those funds in case something happens that the bottom falls out and we need to fall back on cash. And also, recently, our bond rating was increased from AA negative to AA, which means that when we borrow money, we get better terms. We get lower interest rates. So we've had we've definitely had some success in stabilizing and improving our fiscal situation and financial situation for the state of Louisiana.
Okay, one clarification that you mentioned just briefly, but one of my listeners asked me to ask you this question. I think you need to clarify. People have, and this person had a misnomer of saying that, what do we do with all the money that's given to us or parlayed to us by the federal government? Does it go directly to these agencies that requested it to do a match, or does it go through the treasury and then they parlay it out? I think you mentioned it, but I think a lot of people think the Fed sends it directly to XYZ agency or program or whatever within our state and other states.
Well, in general, there may be a few exceptions to this, but in general, the money goes directly to the treasury. However, some of it goes to the general fund. Some of it goes to specific funds that we manage. So it all depends on what restrictions there are there and what purpose. For instance, we're still processing Hurricane Katrina and Hurricane Ida dollars that are, of course, used to compensate for damages. And so, you know, we can't just spend that money the way we want. It's federal dollars, and it's earmarked for specific purposes, but we still manage it and make sure that it gets to the right places. So, you know, it depends. Now, there was a lot of money provided to all the states during the period of the pandemic, what we call COVID money. And, you know, it was used to assist in the many things that state governments have had to do that was the same as the federal government, have programs to make sure that the economy stays afloat during the shutdowns and all that. So we've had that. And unfortunately, I would say that, you know, when you have those fat years, that is high-income years like that, the legislature has a tendency to want to spend more money on things that are less necessary. So that's kind of the beef I have with I have a very good relationship with our legislature, but sometimes they get a little bit out of control in their spending, not unlike our legislators in Washington.
Uh-oh, that's true. That is true as well. So we're getting a good return, better than we've had in past years. So that's a real positive effect. So we're getting more interest, we're getting more other returns. So it helps our treasury and helps us not have to borrow any more money to handle the expenses of services, et cetera, and benefits provided to the citizens. That's true, right?
Yes, absolutely. We're trying to stretch your dollar. For one thing, we have to, because inflation affects your state government the same way as it affects your household. So if you're not running, you're standing let's put it this way. If you're not running, you're probably going backwards when it comes to our economy in a period of inflation. So just like you have to do everything you can to afford the ever-increasing prices at the grocery store and the gas pump and all of these things, we have to do the same thing, and that's why we try to stretch our dollars as much as at least keep up with inflation, if not get ahead of it in some way.
That's a great goal. So you mentioned, but I want you to emphasize it again, you implemented a call center for Louisiana Unclaimed Property System, and it's resulted in an 80% reduction of backlog of claims. So there was many claims piling up for past administrations. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. What was happening is that our staff was having, when I inherited this job or when I was elected to it, the staff had basically two responsibilities. One was to manage the phone calls, and the other was to process the claims. And they just couldn't do both. So we contracted with a third party, a private company, to handle all the phone calls. They're much more efficient at it. The cost is lower. So we had a backlog of 2,500 claims that we knocked all the way down to 500 claims.
Wow.
And the problem was inefficiency, because if you're pulled away from let's say, one of the projects that you have, you have to answer phone calls because people are wondering where their money is. You see how you end up chasing your tail and you don't get things
sure.
done. So we've reformed. We're much more efficient, and we're much faster responding to people who make claims for their money.
That's good. Then when I learned about a data match, wow, and that probably had never been done before, a data match to update addresses. Had that been done before?
Yes. Well, you know, I don't know all the history of the Treasury, but I doubt it, because we've also been modernizing our technology. And just like businesses and governments, so it may have been that in the past it wasn't even possible to do that. But, yes, we've been doing data matches. We're doing something related to that we're very proud of, and that is 2 years ago there was or maybe it was last year, but a bill was passed that would bring transparency onto our Department of Education all the way down to the school level and even down to the molecular level, where with a user-friendly website where you can actually go and look at all of the contracts, the cost,
wow.
the payroll, everything. And we had some resistance from the Department of Education on this, but we've now got them cooperating with us. And so we plan by March of next year to have the website up, which is very timely because, as you know, the legislature just passed a school choice bill,
uh-huh.
which means that parents can decide which schools they want to take their kids to. The money follows the student rather than going directly to the school. And so this way you can make the same kind of choices about your kid's school, just as if you're deciding what dealership to buy your car or what apparel store you're going to buy your dress or your suit. You're going to be able to do that in Louisiana with the school system. And I think that with all that transparency, it's going to make our school system much more efficient and accountable for the dollars that are spent.
Well, I highly advocate that. I'm glad it's finally going to be implemented. I heard about it, but, you know, it takes time, but it definitely is going to have
right.
the pros and negatives, the pros and the negative people, but I think there's going to be more positive things about this than the negative.
Yes.
The other thing that the data match, as you mentioned, resulted in 27,842 unclaimed property checks being mailed to individuals
yes.
in each of our 64 parishes. And everyone, I don't know if it's been reported by our local media, they probably have, but I just want to emphasize, in Bossier Parish, 637 checks totaling $113,243 were issued. And in Caddo Parish, 1,516 checks totaling $251,702 was issued. Wow, that's a lot of money that was sent
yeah.
directly, probably unexpected by these individuals once they received it in the mail, right?
Yes, we put on a PR campaign to alert citizens that when you get the check, don't throw it away or think it's a scam or a promotion. It's real dollars, and if you deposit in your account, it'll actually count for you. So, but apparently people did. We're not having much of in the way of problems.
Well, initially you did, because I had some of my radio listeners and readers said,
oh, really?
Gary, did you get a check about unclaimed property? I says, no, I don't think I have any. I've Googled went to their system.
Yeah.
They said, is this real? Can I cash it? Can I
right.
deposit it? I said, well, you can either call the 1-800 number on there and they'll tell you, but I'm just
right.
about sure it sounds legit. So that's good.
Yes. Yeah. We anticipated it might be a problem, but fortunately I think once word got around, people were felt pretty safe about it.
But let's emphasize, you know, only 5 million has been distributed throughout the state on June the whatever 13th. There's availability of how much more you were in?
350 million.
So everyone, you need to Google what was the website?
LACashClaim.org.
Okay. Is there a toll-free number? I don't have it right in front of me.
If you have it, I just don't have it in front of me.
Yeah.
But you're welcome to give it out.
I hate to say this, I lost it myself. So I've got your 225 number, 34. That's your office number here. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. It's 1-888-925-4127. That's 888-925-4127 for the Treasury's Unclaimed Property Division. It's toll free, and the, as he mentioned, lacashclaim.org. So you definitely need, if you haven't contacted that, it's free of charge to call or free of charge to, and they'll look you up and tell you. You might be one of those persons that have $20,000 sitting in there that's never been asked for. It's been sitting there. But
yes.
I'm glad to know. I did have somebody ask me when I had you on your show, does the state use that money as a borrowing factor and give it to other agencies when they're short of money? And you said, no, it's locked in, right?
Nope.
Wow.
It is locked down. It is, you cannot touch it. It's, you know, there have been times in the past where the legislature and the governor have swept those dollars, but some laws were passed over recent years that locked it down where that can't be done anymore. So we're very proud of that fact.
Well, one more thing that I'm not familiar with that you listed as one of your accomplishments is you advocated the passage of legalization to make gold and silver legal tender. Does that mean I can pay my taxes with gold coins?
Not exactly, at least not yet. But the reason for doing this is in the U.S. Constitution, when it was written, of course, centuries ago, there's a loophole built in there that says that states cannot create their own currency, which makes a lot of sense. It would be chaotic if every state had their own currency. But they said, except for, there's one exception, in the case of gold and silver, the state can recognize that as legal tender. And so we've actually passed it through the legislature, and it's now recognized by the state of Louisiana as legal tender. Now, what do we do with that? Well, there's actually companies that exist today. There's one called Glint, G-L-I-N-T. You can actually download their app, and you can do all of this digitally. But you can buy gold that is safe and secure in a depository that's insured by Lloyd's of London, and you get a fractional part of a gold bar or maybe a number of gold bars, depending on how much you buy. And they will issue you a debit card that you can go and spend that gold any place you want. So, and you can either spend it as gold or you can spend it as U.S. dollars. Because there's, you know, a conversion is done right there on the spot in real time. So you choose which way you spend it.
Wow.
So I think that going forward in the future, we're going to be the typical citizens of Louisiana are going to be able to buy and sell things using cryptocurrency, using gold and silver, using regular dollars. All those options will be available. In fact, we're also standing up a website in which if you pay a fee, let's say for your hunting license or fishing license, you can pay in cryptocurrency. You can use your cryptocurrency, your Bitcoin or whatever. We'll accept it. Now, when we get it, it's going to be in dollars. We only deal in dollars, but you will have the ability to pay in cryptocurrency.
Amazing. Well, hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Stunning Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, The Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana Neighbors, Sun and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. Joining me on my show today is a very special guest, is the Louisiana State Treasurer, the Honorable Dr. John Fleming, and he's been giving us some great information about positive results that his department has done to benefit all of us in the state of Louisiana. So thank you, Dr. Fleming, for joining us today here on The Best of Times Radio Hour.
Yes, thank you.
So in continuing some of your accomplishments, I found this quite fascinating. I don't think a lot of people knew this, that you took the lead, your department took the lead in keeping Blue Cross of Louisiana as a Louisiana-based mutual insurance company. Why was that important?
Yes. We heard about this attempt by a company called Elevance, who've actually taken over other states' Blue Cross Blue Shield programs. Each Blue Cross Blue Shield program is actually separate from the others. They're in individual states. And we looked at their track record, and what we found is once they took over these companies, these insurance companies, they would centralize all the operations, which would kill the Louisiana jobs, number one. Number two, they had a terrible track record of not paying healthcare claims, and they were even convicted of fraud. And at cost here was about $2 or $3 billion that Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana has, and they were going to roll that into a Clinton Foundation type of 501c3, I believe. And for what purpose, political or what, and maybe so they could use that for a political type of activity, or they could hand out big salaries. We heard that there were some plans to put people on a certain board and pay them $1 million. And so we just felt like, look, an institution like Blue Cross Blue Shield of Louisiana, which I can tell you as a patient and as a physician who's utilized them, they've been fantastic, one of the great institutions of our state. And we saw that we were going to lose that, and it was going to be due to the greed of certain people, I think, in the process. So we're very, very proud working with the state Senate and the Louisiana State Medical Society that we were able to kill that.
That's great. So the other thing that your department led the efforts in a nationwide campaigning that successfully preserved the private ownership of Exxon. So why was this important?
Well, what actually happened was that a left-wing group had paired up with some of the liberal states pension funds like CalPERS in California. They control $600 billion, I think, which gave them a lot of proxy power to overthrow the leadership of ExxonMobil. Now, ExxonMobil is a big company, and it has a lot of activities here in Louisiana. In fact, I look over the bay from my office on the third floor of the Capitol, and I can see one of their processing plants. And they provide, through tax dollars, over $120 million a year to the state of Louisiana. So anyway, what they wanted to do is to replace the CEO and the board with greenies, you know, people who want to replace oil and gas. they want to replace oil and gas as their central, use of processing of energy. And so I took the lead on that. They asked me to take the lead, and we pushed back, and the proxy vote came out, and they were very unsuccessful in being able to take over the company.
That's awesome. That is awesome. So another factor is that your department is continuing the policy of refusing to do business with any companies who discriminate against Louisiana citizens because of their social and political policies. So I ask you, was there policy before allowing this?
Well, what has happened in recent years is that there's politicization and weaponization of the financial institutions. For instance, BlackRock is a company that is deep into what's called ESG, environmental, social and governance, which means that their investments lean towards what they would consider environmentally responsible activities. But what it means in net is that you're going to get less return on your investment. And I don't believe that we should allow such considerations when it comes to investing our dollars. We should get the best return on investment and not, weigh into the politics of things. But also, we find that banks such as Bank of America has been denying services, what we call debanking, against Christian charitable organizations, Christian charitable organizations, a couple of them that do great work in Africa. They've been doing this against firearm dealers and manufacturers, also companies that are involved in oil and gas, which, of course, is very important to us in Louisiana. So, look, I don't believe in pushing my personal political agendas. I'm pro-life, but I don't push that agenda through, policies that would involve the private sector. I don't force people to do things or deny services to people just because they may disagree with me. And by the same token, I don't think that they should do that to the citizens of Louisiana. I think that we should never deny service or discriminate against people based on their political views, whether they're pro-life or pro-abortion or whether or not they're pro-gun or anti-gun or whatever. I think we should stay out of that and leave it to the legislators to make those kind of decisions, but not push your political point of view by denying services to the people of Louisiana.
That's good. So one qualifying or clarification, what does it mean to be a fiscal agent denial? So does the Treasury, your department have the right to say they're no longer a fiscal agent in the state of Louisiana? Or is it somebody else makes that final decision?
Yes. Well, where this comes to grips, the application of what I just said was the Bank of America, it's been widely reported by the media that they've been doing these things. They've been discriminating against Christian organizations, against Second Amendment, firearms organizations, oil and gas, all of that. And they applied to be a fiscal agent for the Interim Emergency Board, which is out of New Orleans, that in theory approves fiscal agency. Now, what fiscal agency means is simply that they do the banking service for certain organizations. And they asked me on my recommendation, because I am a member of that board as treasurer, and I gave them a no for a recommendation. Now, they could, in theory, outvote me, but they decided not to do so. They took my recommendation, and I guess they agree with me. And so Bank of America is pushing back. They're unhappy that they didn't get the business. But again, the message here is, if you're going to discriminate against Louisianans and their values, don't expect to come to our state and get business.
That's a good policy as well. So thank you, Dr. Fleming, for taking your valuable time to be on our show today. I know I learned a lot. I know my many thousands of radio listeners out there have learned a lot of good information. Again, congratulations to you and your department. I look forward to having you coming back on the show in the near future to tell us about other accomplishments that you and your department has made. So again, best wishes to you and your family, and have a wonderful continued tenure in office as the treasurer of our wonderful state of Louisiana.
Great. Thank you so much for having me today.
Have a great day. Please, everyone, to tell your friends to listen to our show next Saturday morning for news that they can use and information that they might need. Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.